Marketplace, a highlight of the event, which features over 20 native vendors. It is open to the public from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., May 29th at Lewis and Clark College at Smith Hall. More information about this KBOOT-sponsored event may be found on kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning and welcome to Voices from the Edge. I'm Joanne Hardesty and it's my pleasure to talk with you today. Before I jump into the program, I want to take a moment and send out good vibes and good well wishes to Greg Pallas, who is in New York recovering from surgery. He is on the mend. I just want him to know that we love him, we miss him, and get well soon. It is my privilege this morning to talk to author and activist Betsy Lendard Wright, and she is the author of the new book, Missing Class, Strengthening Social Movement Groups by Seeing Class Cultures. And Missing Class, first I want to say that Betsy is the Program Director of Class Action, and she's the author of Class Matters, Cross-Class Alliance Building for Middle-Class Activists, and co-author of The Color of Wealth, The Story Behind the U.S. Racial Wealth Divide. It is my pleasure to have you here this morning. Welcome, Betsy, to the program.
Thank you so much, Joanne. I'm delighted to be with you.
As I am to have you, I want to let you know that we are in the middle of our membership drive, so we will be going periodically to check in to make sure that people are calling and they're just not so engrossed in listening to you and I that they forget to make that call.
That's right. Got to support KBOOT.
That's right. Got to support community radio because it's the only game in town. So welcome, Betsy, and thank you so much again for being here. I just want to say it's always interesting when we as progressives, and I have my quotation marks up, talk about class, because I think that a lot of times when we talk about class so that we can avoid some other conversations. And so I love the fact that you have interviewed some interesting groups. And I'm sure that they all have different perspectives. So first, when you talk about class, let's all start on the same page. What do you mean when you say class?
I think it's a tricky subject. There's reasons we don't talk about it. I mean the spectrums, the ways we're different from each other by our education levels and our parents' education, or whoever raised us, by our types of occupations or where our income comes from, by our housing, whether we're owners or renters, by the type of, you know, where we are in a hierarchy, our position at work, our neighborhoods. There's so many different class indicators, and that's one of the things that makes it confusing. Mm-hmm. But mostly people at one end of the class spectrum on one of those will also be the same end on the others. And so we can kind of clump our life experiences into some class identities.
So tell me a little bit more about that. I mean, did you find in your research that people are inhibited by perceived class differences?
Yeah, I found that there's who people think each other are by class,
right.
And then there's people's actual class life stories, and that often people who had been in groups together for a long time were guessing wrong about each other's class backgrounds because it was something they had never talked about, or they were unable to guess and really, really didn't know. So that's one end of the spectrum, is like where people say, I don't know, mm-hmm. or they're, you know, make guessing wrong. And then there's, I think this is endemic on the left, that there's posing and pretense about class. So it, you know, unlike in the mainstream society, there's kind of a stigma to being more class privileged, and the kind of a status to being associated with any more oppressed group. And so there's a lot of faking and exaggerating hardships and faking working class or poverty identities, or misunderstandings of what class is, thinking it's just money. And mm-hmm. so if you're voluntarily poor because you want to live off the grid, or you want to give all your time to activism, thinking that that's no different from being an involuntarily poor person.
And right.
Vastly different, especially if you have higher education. You have so many options and opportunities that lifelong poor people just don't have.
Oh my gosh, Betsy, we got to bring you to Oregon because...
That's happened there a time or two, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, once or twice, you know.
Oh, once or twice.
Yes,
oh.
Yes. We get into the conversation about, you know, we are the sustainability capital of the world, so we tell ourselves. And you only want to be sustainable depending upon where you are, right? Because if you are poor, you would rather not sustain that condition. You would rather
right.
do something different. And
oh, that was well said,
Jerry.
I like that.
So, you know, we pride ourselves here in Oregon on being, you know, environmentalists. You know, we're all down with the earth. But
yeah.
we are totally and they don't understand why poor people and people of color aren't involved in the environment movement, the environmental movement.
Yeah, and there's the environmental justice movement, and there are portions of the environmental movement that are really do great at cross-class and cross-race mm-hmm. bridging, and are led by people of color and working class and poor people. So it's not the whole environmental movement, but there is that phenomenon of, you know, it's great to change your lifestyle and eat local and organic and
yes.
you know, lower your carbon footprint. Nothing wrong with it
right.
unless you start to be like greener than thou.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, if you think that makes you a superior person to people who are eating Oreos, you know, then and smoking or whatever,
right.
and then you really got to ask yourself, well, who are the people you're acting so superior towards, and what's your class background, and
right.
Is this perhaps a way of perpetuating classism and, you know, a sense of some people being superior to others? It's really, really unhealthy.
You know, I am just chomping at the bits to ask you a big question, but I only have a minute for you to answer it before I go and check in with membership. So I'm going to hold that one and ask, what is the biggest challenge in organizing people from different class backgrounds?
I think the biggest challenge is, I mean, there's many challenges, but I'll just say the one I wrote about, which is not recognizing that class culture differences are keeping us apart, that there's differences of group process tastes and differences of speech and different senses of humor and that are not being recognized as class. So that's why I call the book Missing Class, because I think we're overlooking the role of class cultures in our weakness in building cross-class alliances.
Well, I'm going to leave it right there for the second. We are going to come back and pick up right at that point. I'm going to go and check in with our fabulous volunteers here that are going to encourage you to give us a call, because we are halfway in our membership drive. And if you haven't become a member yet, there is still time at 877-500-5266. And we have the most wonderfully fabulous Joe Uris helping us out today.
Oh, I feel so wonderfully fabulous. Man.
You carry it well.
Yeah, I'm so modest too. I think that if you're listening to this show, you know the value of KBOO. And I think that some of you who are listening to this show have not yet made a commitment financially to the station. So, here's the easiest thing to do. Listen to us, realize how valuable we are, imagine the station not existing, because that could happen without the support of people just like you. And right away, if you're online, go to kboo.fm. That's kboo.fm. And there'll be a beautiful image, and then there'll be a tip jar, and you put the money in there, and it's all cool, and it's private. But if you want some social action, if you want some really exciting opportunities, you can call us directly here. Our phones are gold-plated. Our toilets are solid gold. Our walls are marble. This is a very plush setup. I'm sitting on a chair made out of, I can't tell you.
I don't know where Joe is, but I'm at the KBOO studio located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue right off of Burnside.
Yeah, it's kind of funky.
It is a wonderfully fabulous building that serves our purposes well, but it would serve us better if you called 877-500-5266 invested in your community radio station. When I was pitching on Joe's show earlier this week, I think we realized between the two of us, we've got about 50-some years as volunteers here at KBOO.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not going to tell you which one of us has been here longer. I was here since I was 12.
Really?
I don't know.
Is that really true?
No, it's not true. You know better
than
that.
It's just radio fantasy. Look at that lion. Get back there.
877-500-5266. Joe and I are kidding around, but we really would love you to become a member. We'd love you to support community radio. We'd love you to support the kind of programming like this wonderful author I'm talking to now, Betsy, about missing class. These are the kind of things that we really don't get anywhere else in our local community. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. Can you do $10 a month, $20 a month? Every little bit helps, and it sustains the station. And so on that note, Joe, we're going to come back to you in just a few minutes, have some coffee, relax, while I go back to my interview. Thank you so much. Okay, Betsy, so I just put you on the spot and said, what's the number one challenge in organizing around class? And you were very gracious to actually offer me what you talked about in your book. So does gender play a significant role in organizing around class?
Yeah, I expected to see more differences by gender and also by race than I actually found. It was surprising to me how many class culture traits cut across those other identities. The state of the movement traditions that I was studying, most of them are majority women, the anti-poverty advocacy and community organizing and the nonprofits and protest groups tend to be very strong on
women, right?
Yeah, more female leadership. Not so much the labor movement, although I did see some union, female union organizers and members as well.
I do want to get back to labor at one point, because there are some challenges around organizing low-income communities with labor, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But
yeah. I mean, one surprising thing is that, a lot of people conflate race and class. When you say working class and poor people, a lot of people, their image is people of color, which is an overgeneralization. It's a correlation because of the history of racism. People of color are disproportionately working class and poor, but they're majority white. So so you just have to both hold that there's an association. You have to hold that in your mind and also not overgeneralize, because there's lots of, I encountered lots of upper middle class African Americans and professional middle class Latinos and et cetera. And I encountered lots of working class and poor white people as well as professional middle class, et cetera. So so people, you would, at the, I and the other interviewers, we would ask class questions, like what's the class diversity in your group, and people would answer about race, and then you'd specify that you were talking about class and they'd answer about race. So so that really, I mean, really not having the vocabulary. But I was surprised to discover that, for example, second or third generation college educated African Americans talked, there was some of the, what people call code switching.
Right.
But a lot, they talked a lot like college educated white people, and had similar group process preferences and approaches to dealing with conflict, and the things that people were thinking were distinctively grassroots, you know, Black and Latino ways of doing community organizing. The white working class and poor people were pretty similar. So I actually found that class cultures were the strongest similarities. And maybe a bigger study would find that that's not always true, because I know we do vary by race and gender in how we're raised and what we learn growing up and how we approach activism. And I really found class is such a bigger factor than just about anybody is talking about.
It's interesting. I used to run a nonprofit that trained low-income people to advocate for their own best interests.
Cool.
And it was always interesting to see the dynamic between upper middle class whites and the low income people who my focus was on, in the training, and how the dynamic worked. Now, the way that we tried to make it work was to consistently do anti-racism, anti-sexism training every year for all our volunteers.
Great.
So that we at least were intentional about how we would interact with each other. But there are certainly some things that just jump out at you right away. Like, for example, when I work with low-income people, I assume if I'm doing a meeting, I'm organizing transportation, I'm organizing food, I'm organizing childcare, and it's just a part of how I invite low-income people to come to a meeting. But then I've worked with other activists who think that if they just put a flyer up or call you and tell you they need people of color to show up because they forgot to actually have them involved in the planning, then they're surprised that the turnout was less than they had hoped for. And so it's a really interesting dynamic to see how people, what the perceptions are that people have when they are trying to organize.
Yeah, that's a really great example, and that was one of the things that I found was really different, was how do you, when you have low turnout, which just about every group has that problem, right?
Right.
What do you do about it? And the food being this thing that was all the working class and poor activists mentioned that first, and all their groups served food. And that was almost completely overlooked by the college-educated
activists. That's right. That's
it was
right.
Like literally no one. We asked that question in interviews, what would you do to get more people to turn out and join your group? And literally not one college-educated person said, well, serve food. Mm-hmm. So, which probably is a, I'm sure some, if we interviewed a lot more, or some people would say that, but nobody did.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's the kind of thing. That's when I say this can strengthen your work for social justice. That's the kind of tip that you can learn just from exposure to another class culture.
Right.
You can be like, oh, they're drawing people in with food. Let's try that. Mm-hmm. That's the simplest example of what I'm talking about.
Well, Betsy, thank you so much. We are talking to Betsy Lindard Wright.
Leander Wright.
She's the author of Missing Class, Strengthening Social Movement Groups by Seeing Class Cultures. We are going to go back and talk to Joe for a moment. Joe, we are ready to encourage more people to dial 877-500-5266.
Yes, we are. In fact, you know what would be really good would be the end to silence. I would like to hear phones ringing. Here's an expression from the ancient past, off the hook. You know, off the hook. Well, you know, there were phones, they were on the hook, and it was important. We here at KBOO recognize the value of radio as a source of information. We bring you all kinds of good stuff. We bring you great music, and we bring you great discussion. This particular discussion, the question of class and movements and politics, is a very important discussion. Anyone who really wants to see positive social change in America should be paying attention to that. And we at KBOO bring you that kind of conversation. Nobody else does it. Nobody else is going to do it. If we disappear, it's over. So you need to help us. You need to help us survive for your own interest. And the way you do that, the absolutely necessary way, is to make a contribution to this station. Not a lot necessarily. $10 a month, I don't think you'd notice it. $5 a month, you certainly wouldn't. And all you have to do that is to donate at kboo.fm. And right away you get this image and a tip jar over in the right-hand corner and you make your contribution. However, on the telephone, an ancient instrument known only to the ancient wisdoms of the East, 877-500-5266.
And I bet we have all kind of fabulous thank you gifts back there.
We do.
Because we like to say thank you to our members. We like to have our new members come in and volunteer so you can get trained in community radio. There's so many benefits to membership other than just investing in your community radio station. But the number to call is 877-500-5266. And what is our goal this hour, Joe?
What is our goal this hour? It is $1,000.
It's $1 million or $1,000?
$1,000. Well, $1 million. Hey. Sure, $1 million. Bring it on down. I think I would personally be very happy with $1,000 contributed by folks out there just like you.
As would I, and that's actually an easy lift for us. I know my listening audience, they love this. They love what we are able to bring with Voices from the Edge. And, of course, they want to be members. They've been just putting it off as something they were going to do.
Yeah.
They were waiting for the next membership drive.
Yeah,
but the
yeah.
next membership drive is here. And we're
now,
here at the phone.
Now
and the
is
number.
The hour when you should make a contribution.
And if you do, Joe will promise not to sing.
877-500-5266. I will repeat that yet again. 877-500-5266. Or wander on down here.
Yes.
See the palatial quarters from which we operate.
Yes.
Gaze upon the Trinitine. Is that what the word is? Marble walls. The fantastic solid gold toilets given to us directly by the Air Force. Look at all the wonderful art, the incredibly engaging rugs made by the out of the silks of worms.
Okay, come on back now, Joe.
Okay, 877-500-5266. It may be funky, honey, but it's ours.
It's our funk. That's exactly true. And there's a lot of fabulously wonderful people here at KBOO. Most of us are volunteers. There's like 5 or 6 paid people in the entire building. We have over 500 volunteers that come in each and every day to keep the gears moving.
Gears? We have gears?
We have gears. But in order to grease the gears.
Ooh, we're going to strain the metaphor now.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to really stretch this sucker.
It would be fabulous if you called 877-500-5266 and said, okay, today's the day. I will become a member. Life is good.
You know, and I want to just say that this book about missing class,
yes,
about the loss of consciousness, of class consciousness in our society, and awareness of the fact of real serious class divisions, dealing with that kind of issue so that we can build real movements that have real understanding,
yeah,
is so important. These are serious times. We are in many ways, in many places, at the edge of war yet again. And that ain't going to change unless you and I struggle to make that change happen. And one of the instruments of social change, for sure, is the communication that comes through KBOO radio. So this, while we kid around, this is really this is really serious business. Won't you, right now, before you do anything else today, make the call, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266.
Thank you.
Good morning, Joanne. Good morning, Joe. My name is Sam, and I'm a volunteer as well at KBOO. And Joe, I heard you talking about how we're really coming to the edge of war once again in several places. And I'd like to point out to the listeners that community radio was invented as an antidote to all the media sources that are basically owned and controlled by those who profit from war.
That's true.
And so the purpose, the raison d'etre, if you will, of community radio.
Raison what?
I don't know.
Okay.
D'etre?
Raison d'etre, yes.
I never studied French. But anyway, the purpose of community radio is to bring you this program, which we're going back to right now. So call 877-500-5266.
He got that in there in just the nick of time. So we're going to go back and speak to Betsy. Help me again, Betsy.
Leonderwright.
Oh, it just rolls off your tongue. Leonderwright. Okay. Missing class. And this is a fascinating conversation. I am so thrilled to have you here today. So we were talking about... it looks like we have a caller on the line. I'm going to go to the phone line first. I'm sorry, who is that? Naya?
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Welcome. Do you have a question or comment?
I do have a comment. It's an experience I'd like to share with you about race and class. I was a 14-year-old runaway. I was a white teen, and I was living under bridges in Santa Clara County. And I had a horrible, horrible toothache and an abscess. I went to county medical for help, and they asked me if I was Hispanic, and I said no. And they said, well, are you pregnant? And I said no. And they said, well, we can't help you.
Oh, yes.
They turned me away because I was white. And I was crushed. I hitchhiked all over Santa Clara County with an abscess and a fever of 104. I was hallucinating. And no one would touch me. So I found a cocaine dealer in San Francisco who packed my mouth full of coke and gave me some Percodan. And on Monday morning, I somehow managed to scrounge up $65, and I had my tooth pulled. And I still have a hole in my gums, a missing tooth.
Wow.
And I just wanted to share that experience. And it just left me so crushed and so brokenhearted. And so disappointed. I just didn't know, you know, what to do.
Right.
You know, since then I have begged, borrowed, and stolen my way through the job circuit, and I'm actually working for a major corporation now. Luckily, I was smart. But there are people like me who fall through the cracks all the time. I couldn't get into college. I couldn't get aid. I couldn't get anything.
So,
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
And thank
It's okay.
And thank goodness you got through that. But you raise a really important. I mean, a 14-year-old on their own anywhere is frightening. But to be seeking help of agencies and organizations that are supposedly there to assist you, and being told that, well, if you're pregnant,
Latino.
Go ahead. Or Latino.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That is kind of crazy.
We have the lack of access. Like, it's just one of the worst things about our system, I think, is that it should just be based on need, and so many people get locked out.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to share. I really appreciate the conversation so very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it as well. She certainly does raise a huge issue. I mean, the difference between healthcare is night and day, depending upon whether or not you have healthcare or don't. It's radically different.
Yeah, and I think it does end up that when there are affirmative action programs, as there are with many colleges and scholarships and some jobs, there's this there can be a feeling of are white low-income people being left out? And there's a lot of proposals out there to replace race-based affirmative action with class-based affirmative action. And at my organization, Class Action, we think that would be a mistake because, there's a need for race-based affirmative action.
Right.
There's discrimination just based on race, regardless of class. But that if you say both and affirmative action based on both, it actually would be good for low-income people of color as well as the working class and poor white people, because right now elite colleges especially get away with we have racial diversity,
mm-hmm.
but they're only off in many cases only letting in people from wealthy backgrounds or international students from international elites. And so who gets left out when you don't add class to your affirmative action policy? Who gets left out is working class and poor applicants of all races. So I think the both and is our answer to that.
Well, and I think that there probably is resistance in communities of color to that inclusion, because on one hand, as you said, clearly racial discrimination still exists across our systems, regardless of what system you're talking about.
That's right.
And so if you are a person of color who supposedly has some kind of advantage because of affirmative action, I mean, you've been told you have an advantage.
Yeah.
You haven't quite actually seen the manifestation of that advantage. What you've seen is white women have that advantage, right? Be able to use that advantage in a way that people of color have never been able to use.
Yeah,
and
really
so
true.
Then if you broaden it to include class, if you're African American or Latino, you got to say, well, shoot, I'll never ever get to the line, because now you've just added a whole pool of people who, are have more privilege than I do.
Yeah, so we end up sort of divided and conquered.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And with college admissions, there's a clear solution. First of all, why are there so few slots
mm-hmm.
and so few scholarships? Why not broaden the access in general? But also legacy admissions.
Right,
that
yes.
There are more people getting into selective colleges because they're parents or grandparents mm-hmm. went there. The legacy admissions and the children of the rich and famous, so the special development admissions, way outnumber racial affirmative action, sports scholarships,
that's
geographical
right.
diversity, every other kind of additional points in admission. So there would be plenty of room for all the working class and poor white people and people of color of all classes to be able to be given, advantages if you're overcoming obstacles like of historical discrimination or poverty. There'd be plenty of slots if legacy admissions were banned.
Ah, so there's a new campaign.
I know. Wouldn't that be good?
Yes, it would.
Because why are we doing this? This is blatantly classist.
Yes, yes.
We're saying if you come from a family that, had more advantages historically because your parents or grandparents were able to go to an elite college, therefore you get an edge.
Right.
Like, that's blatant classism. So we would not have to be dividing and conquering. And similarly with jobs, that right now there's hard evidence that there's still outright racial discrimination in hiring. You know, those studies where they
sent the identical resume
with identical qualifications, but just changing the name to sound white or sound African American. Like, there's blatant racial discrimination in hiring, but there's also a ton of credentialism, unnecessary requirements for degrees, and discrimination against people perceived as working class or poor who from of all races. So obviously hiring should go by the qualifications for the job, and that is it, right?
Absolutely. And we have a caller on the line. Hello, Terrell. Welcome to KBOO.
Hello, Joanne. Always a good show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm bringing in some money, particularly for your efforts.
Well, thank you.
And I just want you to know that I'm bringing in $500 for myself and my cousin.
Oh, thank you so much.
And we've done so in the past, and we just always commend your effort particularly, and Teresa, too. We really like Teresa. And but anyway, thank you for this
Thank you, and we are very grateful for your support.
Because when it comes down to it, racism and classism kill. They just kill.
Yes.
And I remember when I had, about a mile and a half, 2 miles to walk through a very rough part of West Eugene, well, all of West Eugene, rough, to get my kids to a part-day kindergarten. There wasn't any bus service, and there wasn't any good, there wasn't any good Eugene bus service, and we couldn't afford it anyway. And every day had to try to figure out how to work out my schedule to get my kids over there and get them home. And they're, in blank stares in the school pertaining to, you don't have a car? Mm-hmm. You just don't have a car and you got to get your kid here? And anyway, those are hard times. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yes.
Everyone can tell you that that's just part of the day. The day goes on from there, and it still stays hard. But the story about the youngster being sent away in pain, horrible pain. I mean, mm-hmm. I'd rather have a baby than have a tooth. That's the problem is we can all do more, and the key is we can all do more. Someone should have stepped forward and said, young person or whomever, you're in pain, we're going to sort this out. And we can do that. The key to everything is we're all going to have to pull up more kindness.
Yes.
Or we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it anywhere. We can talk all the time about creating a new structure, a new system, but if our hearts don't enlarge, and that means even everybody within the activist community, we're not going to get there. The challenge is the heart. And the last thing I'll say, there was a young man hitchhiking along the road a month ago or so, and he was sitting there with his thumb out and his head was in his arms, and he was just dejected looking, so sad. And I thought, oh my goodness, he's not going to have a very good that's not a good way to go about hitchhiking. You shouldn't have that attitude. You've got to, that's not good, because you're very vulnerable when you're hitchhiking. So I went over and I talked to him and I said, I got to tell you, number one, let's see, do you have a weapon? And he said, yeah, I've got a knife, but I'm not happy to carry it. And I said, well, you've got that, and let me see what kind of money I can help you with. And I went back to my vehicle and something told me, put it on my heart. Give mm-hmm. this young man as much as you can. So I returned and I gave him an amount of money, and I'm not going to boast about it. And he said, oh, thank you. Now I can take the bus. And he embraced me, and I embraced him, and we walked away. And he was walking 15 miles to the bus depot. When I looked back, he was walking to the next bus depot. And I wanted to give him a ride, but I wasn't allowed to, because the person that I was with was not going to allow me to give him a ride to the bus depot.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do a lot. We can do a lot, and we can do more, and we have to do more. We're just not going to make it anyway.
What a great story. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Have a fabulous day, and thank you for supporting KBOO. And, Betsy, you want to comment before we go back to membership?
Sure.
Wow, she had a mouthful, huh?
She did. She did. And I think people are just the perception of very poor people or people in need with unmet human needs, just perceiving people as human.
Yes.
We have such basic fundamental classism in our country that just presuming that if you're very poor, you must have done something terribly wrong and it must be your own fault, that myth is just so prevalent. And in fact, we're in an economy where the rules are rigged to favor the people that start out ahead of the game, and that a lot of people can't get a decent job and a decent place to live despite their best efforts. That I appreciate the caller for reminding us of our shared humanity.
Yes, I do as well. And Betsy, we're going to take a pause and check in with our membership desk. And then we're going to come back and talk solutions. How do we actually build this movement that we need to deal with all these big stuff that still remains to be done? And so for listeners, potential members, wannabe members, renewing members, feel free to call us at 877-500-5266. Or if you are in front of your computer, you could go online at kboo.fm and click the tip jar. Joe, how are we doing with new members, renewing members?
Well, we need more.
We need more.
I just want to say we need more.
We need more.
What do we need? We need more. Why do we need more? Because this station absolutely depends on the support of our listeners. When we say we're listener-supported radio, that's not rhetoric. That's reality. And we know that you, because you're listening, are aware of the value of the news and information you get on KBOO. What Joanne is doing, what Abe and I do, what Amy Goodman does, what in fact happens here all the time, what the great news staff here does, and the great music people who play music of all kinds in an incredible variety, well beyond what is offered anywhere else on the radio in the region, in fact in the nation. All of that happens because people just like you make a contribution of $5 a month or $10 a month or maybe just a flat out 40 bucks, whatever it is that you can afford to give. When you give it, it doesn't get wasted. It goes directly to supporting staff and equipment and the necessities of the radio business. We have not got, I like to joke about the marble halls and the gold toilet seats, but the reality is those toilet seats are just okay, and the walls are painted, and it's a little funky, but it works. And it works because people like you are willing to help us keep operation going. So won't you, right now, before you do any other thing today, call us, make a contribution right now, kboo.fm online, or, hey, call us. It's really cool to have those phones ringing.
Yes, it is.
877-500-5266, or drop in. You'll see the Palace of Culture in all its magnificent glory, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We need you. You need us. It's a symbiotic relationship, and it's really worth pursuing. So make a commitment to KBOO. I know 3 times a year we come to you. It must seem like a lot, but compare it with what other people who are in the nonprofit game do, or compare it with what the choices are with advertising every 7 seconds. So if you want good, honest, progressive radio, beautiful music programming, and wisdom beyond your years, you need to make a contribution to KBOO today. 877-500-5266. I'm going to repeat that number. 877-500-5266. And then, of course, there's 20 Southeast 8th. You don't want to miss us. You don't want to miss the opportunity to make the station continue on. You don't want to feel guilty. No, I don't want to trip you with, you know, bad. No. We know
Thank
you.
Thank you, Joe.
We know you. We know you love us. 877-500-5266.
We're going to go back to the program because Betsy's going to now tell us, how do we build the movement? understanding what we understand based on your interviews with a diverse audience of grassroots activists and union leaders and et cetera, what is it going to take to actually build? Because I've been hearing about this movement for the last 30 years, and I haven't actually seen it. I thought I saw it a couple of times, but it really wasn't what I thought. When Occupy started, I thought, hey, maybe this is it. But that wasn't it either. So what's it going to take?
Oh, well, I think probably there's lots of answers to what's it going to take, but I think I just have one of the clues, and my organization, Class Action, has one of the clues, which is having some real conversations about class. That's what Class Action does in our workshops. Give people a chance to share class life stories and reflect on what did you take from your class background and what strengths did it give you and what's hard for you about working with people of other classes. So we find that that can be a really transformative conversation. So I think that starting with the magnitude of the problems we face in this country, that only a really mass movement is going to have enough clout to turn things around. That's just, to me, that's the axiom. Mm-hmm. And a mass movement has to be multiracial and cross-class, or it's not going to be strong enough.
Right.
And so just resisting that tendency we all have to reach out to our personal contacts. If we're living kind of a class segregated life, of course you recruit your friends, which is great, but that you can't only do that. Whatever your social circle is, you have to reach out beyond that, and you have to do really good organizing, which I know happens. There are so many good cross-class groups. As part of my book tour, Class Action is giving out awards to local groups. It's the Cross-Class Bridge Builder Award, and local activists are nominating the groups they think do the best job in their area and voting, and then I get to be the lucky person who gives the award. So, we're doing that in about 10 cities, and I know that if we did that, I'm not coming to Portland at this point, but I know there would be so many groups out there nominated. I know you've got a great Jobs with Justice chapter, and you've got environmentalists working with union folks, and the neighborhood organizing that's happening. I know that the UU Church has an economic justice committee. I don't know as much as you do about your community, but I know that there's people doing cross-class and cross-race organizing there, and that we just have to step it up and do that with an awareness of why it might be hard because of class cultures. And that's what I'm doing with the book and the workshops through Class Action is there's a lot about this online, little videos at classism.org and missingclass.org. It's like, how do you get more savvy about class culture differences and how they're keeping us apart? It's not rocket science. We can do it. We just got to take those first steps of reaching out across differences and being real with each other about our class life stories.
And, it's interesting that you say that, because as you were listing the groups that you know of in Oregon and that are doing some pretty decent work, I actually was going through in my head trying to think, is that really a multicultural group? Is that really a multicultural group? And Oregon, anyway, we interact progressive with, we think the term progressive means that it's multiracial, inclusive of everyone, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not quite that way. I'm really interested in figuring out how do you change the dynamics. For example, in Oregon, I would say most of the quote unquote organizing activity that takes place, white men are in the lead of that organizing effort. And so how do we actually flip the script so that if we're building this this movement, because I believe if we're going to build the movement, then we need different people in charge, because the people in charge will continue to do the things that they've always done, which really hasn't been that effective. But what I find is that when communities of color organize, then the white progressive community kind of perceives it as, oh, those just those people of color. It's a people of color issue. So I don't have to, you know, I don't have to engage. I don't have to be involved in that, because that's like what they're working on. And so I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to think about that, because I'm going to go back and talk to Joe for a minute. But I'm really struggling with that particular. How do you really break the barrier enough that you create the space for the new leadership that must emerge? But we'll be back to answer that. And I'm going to go check in with Joe and see just how close we are to that $1,000 goal.
Oh, we are not close.
We're not close. That's no, okay. I know.
I gotta tell people, you folks out there, you got to step up and make some serious contributions in the next few minutes. Otherwise, I just may have to sing.
Oh, no, please, people. 877-500-5266.
I might have to sing.
Let's make those phones ring.
If I sing, it's all over, you know.
Yes.
Women faint, men run across the street with their guns blazing. It's a terrible thing.
Well, and I got to tell you, between the two of us, they asked me to sing to clear out the room.
Yeah.
And so if you and I did a duo, oh my gosh, eardrums would be breaking all across the land.
The beautiful marble walls at Cable would break. 20 Southeast 8th, 877-500-5266. Listen, you know how valuable this radio station is because
yes.
You're listening to it.
Yes.
And you realize that it exists solely on your support.
Yes.
So this is one of those moral imperatives that come down the line every now and then. In our case, three times a year. And we are asking you to make a contribution within what you can afford. Mm-hmm. It could be $5 a month. It could be, I don't know, $50 a month. It could be a straight out $40. Any amount is more than welcome and really, really necessary. We don't exist on government grants. We don't exist on private funding. We exist on the support of our listeners. That's why we call it Listener Supported Radio. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Amaze yourself, amaze your friends, amaze the community, amaze the people in power by making a contribution to KBOO today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I love to hear that. Again, the number's 877-500-5266. We've got wonderful volunteers standing by to take your call.
They're sitting by.
Walk you through the process and invite you to have a thank you gift of your choosing. It could be a coffee mug. It could be a T-shirt. We have some of the most fabulous T-shirts that have been hand-designed. But it's all up to you. $75 contribution, I know, gets you a T-shirt. I think $50, $60 will get you a coffee mug. But what's more important is that you become a member. You join us in your community radio station. And the number to call, 877-500-5266. Do it because it matters. Do it because it's important. Do it because it's your community radio. And I'm going to go back to Betsy. But before I go back to Betsy, I want to tell you what's coming up today on the Boo. At 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, we will have a deeper look. Features an interview with one of the authors of A Silver Light, Three Americans Imprisoned in Iran. At 10 is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, hear Flashpoint, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Between the Covers features Mount Hood Community College faculty members talking about writing the body, workshops and readings by Kimberly Dock and Christopher Ryan. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures highlights this month's expanded version of the Northwest Animation Festival. That's what's coming up today on KBOO. And so we're going to go back to the author, and then we'll finish up. I'll come back with a couple of minutes to spare and check in with our membership drive. So, Betsy, are you ready to answer my question? What is it going to take us to do to build this movement?
Well, yeah. I don't think I am the person with all the answers. I hate to say it, except that I'm a believer in organizing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it that too often, and I think this is a pitfall of college educated activists. There's a sense that public education is all it'll take. If
mm-hmm.
people, for example, I see this in the climate change movement. If people only knew the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime someone starts a sentence or paragraph with, if people only knew the facts, they'd object, they'd change what they do, the problem would go away. A lot of people have criticisms of the society and see things wrong, who then don't join groups, don't take action, and
mm-hmm.
don't put pressure on decision makers. So I think that we have to hold the word organizing
mm-hmm.
front and center in our minds, and specifically organizing across class lines, across race lines, or from whoever you are. It's got to be bigger than your own community. And so getting really good at being a cross class and cross race bridge person, that's, you know, we only win when we have so much clout because of so many numbers, putting pressure, making the costs of the status quo higher than the cost of change to
yes.
people in power. And so that takes outreach, and that takes organizing, and that takes strategizing. And there's lots of smart people of all classes and races who know how to do it, and we just can't lose heart. We just got to make it happen.
Well, thank you so much, Betsy Leondar. Right. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure too, Joanne.
Your book is fabulous. I'm really looking forward to continuing the conversation. So have a fabulous day. I have your book info and website on my Facebook page. And thank you again. And Joe, let's find out, let's just finish this hour out like it is.
Okay, I really am enthusiastic. We got a commitment of $500, I understand.
Yes, we did.
And we are running hot and we are running a little cold, which means that a lot of people out there are holding back, waiting for the appropriate moment to make incredible contributions
yes,
to the station.
Yes, it's true.
Well, this is the time.
This
now
is
the hour when we want you to give us money.
Yeah.
So, there it is, 877-500-5266. Now remember, folks, this is radio supported by you. It exists for you, of you, and by you, and it doesn't get any corporate sponsorship, and it doesn't get much government support, and it really is about the people's radio. So if you care about music, if you care about public affairs, if you care about the news, if you care about Amy Goodman, if you care about us who do the local programming, you owe it to yourself and the station to make a significant and as generous as you can afford contribution. KBOO.FM online. That's KBOO.FM. 877-500-5266. That's the regular phone number. 877-500-5266. We got some splendid phone answerers. And come on down here and see the Palace of Culture, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Just do those things. Any one of them will work. Make a contribution. Give us what you can afford and then throw an extra $5 in. This would be a very exciting moment for you, and you will feel so virtuous, your whole world will change. If you want to have an exciting romantic life, it'll happen. If you don't, it won't happen. I mean, this is the kind of thing you get when you contribute to KBOO. 877-500-5266.
What was that number again, Joe?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me. 877-500-5266. I'm going to repeat it again.
I think so.
877-500-5266. If you call that number and you talk to our people and you make a commitment, I absolutely guarantee you that at some point today you'll be touched by an angel.
Joe, you are absolutely amazing with the promises that you keep, but there is one promise that's absolutely true. This is your community radio station. It is important that you support this drive. I am Joanne Hardesty. This has been Voices from the Edge. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place, same station. 877-500-5266. Become a member today.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
And good morning from the Mighty Boo KVOO Portland. It is our membership drive, a busy Thursday morning in progress. Coming up in a half hour at 9:30 on A Deeper Look, join us as host Linda Olson Osterlin interviews Josh Fatal, co-author of A Sliver of Light, Three Americans Imprisoned in Iran. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, host Leanne Krantz speaks with Mount Hood Community College faculty members Lydia Yuknovich, Michelle Hampton, and Andy Gurevich about Writing the Body, workshops and readings by Kimberly Dark and Christopher Ryan. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures highlights this month's expanded version of the Northwest Animation Festival. We'll be joined by festival director Sven Bonnickson, as well as David and Nick, the composing team behind the animation performance duo Billy Goat. And as a special bonus for listeners, there will be original artwork, books, and other thank you gifts available with your pledge of support to KBOO. Stick around. Up next, it is Teresa Mitchell hosting Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know, coming up on KBOO.
Countries that are trying to resist neoliberalism, they're being vilified as tyrannical, you know, communists. And if you actually look at what the economic program is, it's really just a recovering of some of these basic principles that the state can have a role in the redistribution of wealth.
Countering the neoliberal agenda, this Friday on KBOO's News and Public Affairs Day, we'll hear from KBOO's investigative team reporting on the impact of the American Legislative Exchange Council on legislation in the state of Oregon. We'll also hear from reporter and author Nomi Prinz, from activist and author Ralph Nader, from journalist John Nichols, and much more. This Friday, News and Public Affairs Day, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., right here on KBOO Portland.
You've probably heard of them. The three Americans hiking in Iraqi Kurdistan, arrested by Iranian guards when they ventured near the border. An over 2-year imprisonment in Iran followed, much of it in solitary confinement. Now, Joshua Fatal, Shane Bauer, and Sarah Shord have turned their experience into a riveting memoir and a powerful indictment of solitary confinement. Tune in to A Deeper Look when Josh Fatal joins me, Linda Olson Osterlin, to talk about their new book, A Sliver of Light, Three Americans Imprisoned in Iran. That's A Deeper Look, Thursday, May 8th at 9:30 a.m. right here on KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide.